Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Live at Germantown Pub, 102.5 The Game, having a good time. The college football playoff rankings will be revealed tonight, and there will be some changes due to what happened last weekend. We were just talking about this during the break. How far does Alabama fall? Now, you know, the AP top 25 doesn't mean anything anymore, but it is sometimes a good gauge of how the committee might think. The AP dropped Alabama 6 spots, so they went from 4th to 10th. Will the college football playoff do the same thing? I believe the top 4 will be Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, Georgia.
I agree. And then I read this. Still in the mix, one team still in the mix in all this, Michigan. The Wolverines at ESPN.com, they have a chance to beat the committee's number one team and rival Ohio State, and nobody in the country would have a better win if that happens. Michigan run the table. It would be one of their best 2-loss resumes in the country, but would be ranked behind USC unless the Trojans lose again. But I haven't even thought about Michigan.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I haven't thought about them because we don't talk about Ohio State because they just steamroll everybody, and then they get to the playoffs and then probably
they don't play anybody.
Don't play anybody.
Right.
That's right.
Michigan is going to be their toughest test when they play them, because I think it's at Michigan, the last game of the year. And then they got to play Indiana in the Big Ten championship game.
I just got a feeling team number 13, when all is said and done, Vanderbilt.
Probably. I mean, I still think Alabama's in right now, even with 2 losses. Now, if they slip up, like if they lose to Auburn, then they're out.
Could you imagine?
Yes. I actually could imagine.
That's at Auburn.
Is it? I was just about to ask you.
Can you imagine if Alabama loses to Auburn, they miss again? I mean, DeBoer might have to leave under the guise of nighttime and get out and never come back. They will not keep him in Alabama if they go lose to Auburn and get knocked out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you Alabama fans, you can rant all you want. You ain't keeping that around.
Could you imagine that? And then Saban coaches the ball game.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be something else.
Because that's probably what would happen.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, it's coming down the last weekend, and this is beautiful. But we talked earlier about Vanderbilt. Take care of Kentucky. Anything can happen. I don't know. You were – in 1998, you were too young. I get that. But, like, Tennessee was, like, the 5th team to get into the national champ, and everything started happening in front of them. And next thing you know, they're in the Fiesta Bowl playing for the national championship. So anything can happen.
Who did they beat for the SEC? Was it?
That was Auburn or Mississippi State.
I think it was like Mississippi State.
Mississippi State in 98, Auburn in 97. Because Bowden got fired halfway through 98. But Mississippi State was up on him. And then T. Martin led him down the field, and they won the game in 98.
Yep. All right. So, like, here's the other thing to consider. Like, your top four right now are likely – now, some stuff could happen, but Ohio State's likely to play Indiana for the Big Ten. Texas A&M is likely to play Georgia for the SEC. Obviously, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose both those games. So that's not going to necessarily knock a team out, but it is going to change the top four seeding.
I just don't think it should influence that at that point. You get that
then
far.
Why play the game?
I agree.
Like, I mean,
100%.
I'm not fighting you on this because I think they should just go away.
I'm with you, man.
And I think the coaches look at it that way. You know, we asked Greg Sankey about that at SEC Media Days, and I think he kind of sloughed it off. I mean, obviously it's
– he was like, that's a good question. He was like, well, hell yeah, it's a good question because we asked it.
But, I mean, you got Ole Miss sitting there that they're at 10-1. And you know, and does the committee tonight look at – compared – well, Georgia beat Ole Miss, right?
Yes.
So you can't – you know, that's going to help.
But they've shown in the past where sometimes that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So here's another SEC conference championship question. What if you got a team who needs to win that game to get in? Like, so then the game becomes relevant. But I'm with you. It doesn't mean if you got Georgia taking on A&M, then you got to turn on the next week and play. I mean, play your back. But I'm old school. I still think winning the conference is first step to winning everything else. Yeah. I think there's a lot of pride and winning the SEC. A lot of pride winning the SEC. I mean, even Peyton Manning talked about when they won in 97, he won an SEC championship. It means something. Even though he won 2 Super Bowls, it means something. So I'm all about winning a conference championship. I know there's bigger fish to fry. I understand that, Mike.
Well,
this will be good.
Here's the other thing to think about. So Georgia is done with the SEC. They've played their eight games. They're 7-1. A&M 7-0. They got one more. Ole Miss is 6-1. They have one more. Alabama 6-1. They have one more. So I guess most teams that's the case. So some of that could, I guess, change. Like, what happens if there's a three-way tie between Georgia, Ole Miss, and Alabama for that second spot?
Ooh, great. I don't know what the tiebreaker is.
Well, Georgia beat Alabama, so Georgia would get it because they beat
Alabama
both teams.
Beat Georgia.
That's right.
Yep.
And Georgia beat Ole Miss.
Yeah, right? And then the others didn't play each other. I mean, it's absolute chaos. So I don't know how they'll figure it. I don't know if they go to – because they're not divisions anymore. Do you go by points or I just head-to-head thrown out? I don't know.
But to your point earlier, when it comes to Vanderbilt, as much as I want it, and a lot of people want it, I do worry that they're just going to be they're going to be out on the outside looking in. Unless if Auburn beat the big thing is you're pulling for Auburn.
Yeah.
You got to win out and beat Tennessee. And then you got to pull hard for Auburn in that last week.
That's why I think the Oklahoma win was really, really bad for Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Because you would have knocked Oklahoma out. They're done. Alabama would have stayed where they are, and that opened up a spot in front of you. Who knows what's going to happen to Utah and those guys on the Big 12, but you would have moved up. Now, Oklahoma's sitting there at 8-2 with two games left. So, they could lose one of the last two and be knocked out of it. So we don't know. Vanderbilt, though, has put themselves in a position to be – in the running for a playoff. I mean, that's all you could do right now. You can only beat the teams on your schedule.
Yeah.
And they're 8-2. Kentucky rolls in on Saturday. It was not going to be a pushover. And then also, Vandy, you want Florida to beat Tennessee because I've said this. If Florida beats Tennessee, they're done.
Yeah.
They're 7-4. And there's some bickering going on in Knoxville. Another Florida loss will get the fan base irate because you haven't won there since 2003. So there's a lot of things still in your factor.
Florida was competitive against Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss was playing with their food a little bit.
Look, Florida got to the fourth quarter with Georgia, with Ole Miss.
Yep.
I beat Texas. I'm not sure what the hell happened versus Kentucky. But they've shown they can play well. And that game under the lights in the swamp Saturday night.
Yeah.
Oh, Nelly. Wow, Gainesville.
Who's that one supposed to be?
Keith Jackson.
Oh, okay.
I work sometimes in the shower. It works.
I don't need to know what you're doing in the shower.
But I do voices.
Now, well, you heard voices.
That too.
Yeah.
And I can't look straight forward anyway. I got to look to the side because Clay's sitting right in front of me. You got to look to the side here. Good.
I'm just waiting for him to be sitting there and call in.
Well, I'm waiting for the top button on his pants to break and they can fly and hit me in the head. Oh, man.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Like, are you all paying attention to the rankings, or is it just like, get me to the end and then they don't care?
I'll pay to go, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it gives us something to talk about.
It does, and I'm just curious to see who goes where, who does what. You know, our good friend Chris Massaro is on the committee, and just I know they're down a member, right? Maybe two or something.
Yeah.
Maybe two, because the Baylor guy had to get off, so – there's 10 now. I don't want myself in position with a lot of pressure. So God bless Chris Massaro for doing that. Chris loves college football. And he watches all the games. I don't think I could be that because at the end, somebody's not going to be happy at all. Several fan bases are not going to be happy to be in there. That's why Archie Manning got the hell off that committee 10 years ago. He knew what was happening.
Our listeners are great. Chase from White Bluff, I think, went to the rule book. The SEC championship tiebreaker starts with head-to-head competition among the tied teams. If that doesn't break the tie, the next tiebreakers are record against all common conference opponents, followed by record against the highest-ranked common conference opponent. If the tie still persists, the tie is broken by cumulative conference winning percentage of all opponents, then capped relative scoring margin, and finally, a random draw.
And then after that, they're going to fight in the middle of Broadway. I am not a fan of the coin toss.
No.
I am not a fan of that. I would rather have the two ADs fight each other.
No, this is what I would do. So, let's say, in this situation, hey, Clay, we're doing a show here, bud. what I would do in this situation is you find an Aggie, a Bulldog, a Rebel, and the Elephant, the Crimson Tide, and you all have them race.
Who's a Rebel?
Well, don't they have a black bear now or something?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why?
I don't
know. They do. You're right.
Yeah. So I just think you have the mascots duke it out for the tie.
But not like a real bear.
No.
Okay, like the mascots.
Well,
okay.
I don't even know what an Aggie is.
It's a pain in the ass. I don't know. Yeah.
Dr. I mean, Crane. I feel like we're doing some Mike Leach stuff here, like talking, because the Alabama Crimson Tide thing was always like an elephant. Like, yep. I would take that Big over owl. A bear.
But I told you how elephants look at us
like we look at dogs.
Same way we look at, so that elephant would be all sweet. So that's the Alabama's lost.
Yeah.
If you get the dog who tried to bite the Auburn player in the ass from Georgia years ago, I'll take that dog. And what else we got?
I don't think that dog's with us anymore.
I don't mean either, but maybe his brother is. Or yeah.
Joe, an Aggie is a student at an agricultural college.
Okay, well, they're screwed. They're out.
They're done. They can't run.
I mean, do we throw I mean, like, if Texas was in this, Bevo takes them all out.
Right. But what if you got a good cowboy? Him is a good shot at Bevo, right? Are they cowboys?
Yeah, well.
More Bulldogs, Wildcats. Like
lasso them down.
Gamecocks, Gators. Gator's pretty tough.
Gator's tough.
I mean, the Vol mascot, Smokey's not taken down again. That Gator's
you just rub
Smokey.
His belly. He'll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auburn, there's a tiger there.
I mean, a Commodore. He's got a sword.
He's got that big old head, too.
Yeah, he can fight.
Razor.
I mean, you got a couple of Bulldogs. You got a Wildcat that, you know, that's unpredictable.
And what about you ever tried to corral a Razorback?
Yeah, see, well, I
did one time in spring break. anywho, but what else is there?
A Gamecock.
The tiger. Yeah. There's nobody that stands out, right?
Yeah. You got a couple of tigers.
Is the gator? Well, you wouldn't attack a gator. A gator and a Razorback would be a good battle.
Yeah. You got
I guess a great question.
There's Auburn Tigers, Missouri Tigers, LSU Tigers.
Bengal Tiger there,
yeah,
buddy.
Bengal Tiger. One Tiger Bengal. So there's three tigers. A Sooner. What does a Sooner do?
They're the ones that grabbed the land, right? Yeah. When the land opened up, they took off. And there was a movie about that with Tom Cruise where, Shannon Christie, what are you? Nicole, what movie was that? That was a Ron Howard movie, too.
I don't know.
And what Dances of the Wolves, you dummy?
Oh, that's right. Jeremy in Clarksville says A&M's mascot is a collie named Revel.
Oh. Here, Revel. He wags his tail and falls over.
I feel like the dogs we could get.
Yeah. The Razorback's the one that scares me.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get a Razorback.
Yeah.
Bevo, I think, will just kind of stand there. Razorback will charge you.
0178 says the Vols mascot has a shotgun. I actually think it's a musket.
It's a musket.
It's not a shotgun. It's a musket.
A musket. I love hearing that word. But then what is the dog then?
I don't know. See, all these schools, like Auburn has – like, is it War Eagle or is it a tiger?
Yeah. And they could send that eagle after you. To
what's the tiger's name? Obby?
It is Obby. Yeah. Obby Mills.
Obby Mills.
That's where the Auburn mascot hangs out.
Okay.
Obby Mills.
All right. Well, this is your mascot history.
Give me the Razorback, man. That's the one. You ain't corralling that bad
well,
boy.
I'll take the Commodore. He's got a sword.
Okay.
He's got a chin the size of a dining room table.
All that, too.
He's got, hey, am I Jay Leno? Commodore does. Hey, everybody's on the Chase and McGill show, and I'm in town on the show. What if the Commodore can get his sword out in time, and that Razorback's charging you? You know you get nervous when that happens. What are you going to do? Next thing, the Razorback is eating you, and you're done. I saw Hannibal Lecter Part 2. I know what happens in that movie when that Razorback goes. So we need somebody with a so maybe it is the musket guy.
There's a joke there that I'm just going to leave alone.
Maybe
I'm just
going
to take
musket.
It to break. It's Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday at Germantown Pub here on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah. There's nobody that stands out, right?
Yeah. You got a couple of tigers.
Is the gator? Well, you wouldn't attack a gator. A gator and a Razorback would be a good battle.
Yeah. You got
I guess a great question.
There's Auburn Tigers, Missouri Tigers, LSU Tigers.
Bengal Tiger there, yeah, buddy.
Bengal Tiger, one Tiger Bengal.
Swimming in the ocean? Lions don't like water. If you'd placed it near a river or some sort of fresh water source, that makes sense. But you find yourself in the ocean, 20-foot waves, I'm assuming it's off the coast of South Africa, coming up against a full-grown 800-pound tuna with his 20 or 30 friends, you lose that battle. You lose that battle 9 times out of 10 of tuna. And we now have a taste of lion. We've talked to ourselves. We've communicated and said, you know what? Lion tastes good. Let's go get some more lion.
Was this Step Brothers?
No, that's other guys.
The other guys. Yeah. Oh, I love that movie.
Oh man,
that is our. Yeah. So there was one night. It was like a Friday night around. I think it was around the holidays during COVID that the other guys was on TV, and Rick and I text each other like, "Hey, the other guys is on." We just texted throughout the movie watching this
thing. It's such a good movie.
Gator wants his cat back.
Some of my friends are going with the Vols mascot because he's got the musket.
Yeah.
But you got to be a good shot, though, if you've got the musket. I mean, you got to take the razor can back you, or the gator down.
Dr. Crane, can you find the late, great Mike Leach, the press conference, when he's asked about the mascots in the Pac-12?
Great.
Absolutely.
It is one of the greatest press conferences of all time.
Yeah, it might be the most bizarre, fun press conference because he makes valid points about every mascot in the Pac-12 that we've thought about it, we've laughed about it, but he goes deeper into it. It's so good. Listen, do that. But
Jeff says on our text line, Fielding Yost once had some Wolverines brought in from Alaska to the Detroit Zoo so they could have two, Biff and Benny, on the sideline during games. It didn't go too well, especially when they tried to put a steel jacket on them.
Steel jacket.
All right, here is the late, great Mike Leach talking about the mascots.
Well, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. unless we're going to go with a bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. And then the duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The Ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, you know, because if that Ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. And then, you know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a Sun Devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Well, but Butch is going to have to be clear-minded and crafty. I mean, Butch will find a way. There's no question. The Cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
That I love Beautiful. That so much. Mike Leach, I will tell you, obviously, you know, we wish he was still here and coaching in general, but before he passed and we had put this show together, I was like, we have got to go to SEC Media Days my whole goal was I just wanted to get Mike Leach on.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I mean, Clark, I know we would have had, but like, I wanted to get Mike Leach on because he did it all the time. And how funny would that have been having him on? Because I don't know if we would have talked a lick of football.
Probably not. And that's the thing. Gardner Minshew talks about they'd go into the film room. He's at Washington State, and they're like watching. Then they'd go off on a tangent, and Gardner's like, where's he going? And I'd walk out thinking, that was the most amazing film session quarterback coach meeting I've ever had in my life, because you're learning things in this abstract way, which is beautiful. But I mean, and he won games. Yeah. You know, I mean, he won games. So he wasn't a flash in the pan. He won everywhere he went at Texas Tech and Washington. It's just funny because he
was building at Mississippi State.
He's a great – he loves Key West.
Yeah.
So it's just funny how he spent time in Washington State, because that's about as far as you can get weather-wise and geography-wise away from Key West. But we need personalities like that, man. They make the world go around.
His bar stool at Captain Tony's Saloon is hanging up in the rafters, and – there's a Washington State and a couple of Mississippi State helmets signed by Mike Leach that are hanging up as well. So his like and look, I mean, he wasn't he one of those that, well, I think he did an interview with George about that he would have taken the Vols job. They just that whole mess.
Didn't the plane? I mean, the cell phone wouldn't work.
Yeah,
John
there was something.
Curry was meeting him in the beach in Venice Beach and. The plane got delayed.
Yeah,
the phone,
there was something.
I mean, it was just.
God, could you imagine?
I never want to relive that weekend of Shiano coming to Tennessee ever again.
I was.
Ever again.
I remember I was doing the morning. I was hosting the morning show, filling in. And that was like the most incredible radio I've ever gotten to do because it was just changing every
right.
Like, because it was like, oh, nope, Jeff Brohm. They're finalizing a deal with Jeff Brohm.
Who's the one that went on TV and said that? Jimmy Himes.
Jimmy Himes, yeah.
Adamantly said it.
And he was rarely wrong.
Right?
So, I mean, that was a big one. And then, you know, Curry was, you know, the Shiano thing had fallen through. And then Curry's going after Mike Leach, and then Mike Gundy. There was another one, and then Gundy gets extended at Oklahoma State. And then all of a sudden, Philip Fulmer's coming in to save the day. Curry's out, and it was like just the bizarre. And then,
right.
And then Jeremy Pruitt is the guy they come up with.
I mean, that's what had happened. It's like, what in the world? So, Vol fans, when you don't get pissed off at Heupel, look at what you've been through. At least this guy's winning games and getting you to the bowl games and being competitive. I know he didn't win the biggest game, but it's a lot better when it was during Jeremy Pruitt. A lot better.
So, that was a fun little tangent in honor of Mike Leach that we got him. We'll have more coming from the Germantown Pub here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. Dr. Crane always got to hit that post, remember?
Indeed.
Indeed. We're live at Germantown Pub. Appreciate them having us here today. It's been a lot of fun, a great spot. Located in the heart of Nashville's historic Germantown, they're a neighborhood pub and embrace every guest as family. Their food is homemade, fresh, and cooked with care, and their wait staff is knowledgeable, friendly, and focused on the guest experience. They also got TVs everywhere. We've been watching some of the games from Saturday, BYU-TCU. I mean, BYU is another one that's, I guess, on the cusp.
I forgot they even played this weekend.
Yeah.
Sitting right there. It's going. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is that there's still two more weeks. And, you know, what's the big game this weekend? I don't even know the big game this weekend. Because I know, like, Charlotte's playing Georgia. Sanford's playing A&M. Ohio
right.
State, Rutgers.
Kentucky, yeah, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Ohio State, Rutgers, Samford, Texas A&M, Missouri, Oklahoma, Miami, Virginia Tech.
Wait, Missouri, Oklahoma, that's a good game.
Yeah, that's a good one. Louisville, SMU, you mentioned Charlotte, Georgia, Eastern Illinois at Alabama, South Florida, UAB, USC, Oregon. It's a decent one.
It's a good one. You want Oregon to win that one game if you're a Vandy fan.
Syracuse, Notre Dame. Texas, Arkansas, Michigan State, Iowa, Kansas State, Utah, Michigan, Maryland, Pittsburgh, Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Florida, BYU, Cincinnati.
So I'm looking at the view of a Vandy fan. So Oregon beats USC, knocked them out. You want Arkansas to beat Texas.
Yeah.
The more losses Texas get, the better it is. So it's those teams, the BYUs, the teams in the 9, 10, 11, you want knocked out because ACC gets a team. Group of five gets a team. Nothing to do about that. And then
Big 12 gets a team.
Big 12 gets a team.
Yeah.
So those are going to be kind of plugged in. Now, the at-large is the ones you got to look at. And so Ole Miss is already in. They'll lose. They'll be 10-2 if they lose Mississippi State. Georgia's not going to lose this week. So they're in there. So those teams that are in there. So it's two or three you got to look out for. And hopefully Utah loses more and BYU loses more. And you still got a shot. I just think they're going to be sitting there at 13 when it's all said and done.
I
hate that.
I am with you as well. A lot of people have been, now that, you know, the Predators are back in the States, they'll resume action coming up on Saturday against Colorado Avalanche. Smashville Live tomorrow at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Ryan O'Reilly scheduled to be one of the guests on the show. And a lot of people I see on Twitter, and they're asking me directly, you know, what's next for the Preds? Are they going to make a coaching change or not? It's been very quiet to this point. Barry Trotz, I know, is still traveling, so he's not going to join DVD today. He's going to join them Thursday at 4 o'clock, so maybe he'll be able to shed some light on some things. But, I mean, everything that I see and think and all of that is, while I do believe some sort of major change needs to come, I don't believe it's going to. Not this weekend.
Really?
I could be wrong, but I just get the sense that they're going to keep rolling with what they got. And
for now.
For now. Okay. I mean, and, you know, I mean, it at the end of the day, if you're running a business, you have to go on the assumption, and it actually doesn't need to be an assumption, you have to know more than the general public. And so I'm going to assume that Barry Trotz and Sean Henry and Andrew Burnett and everybody involved, they obviously know more than we do, and they should. That's how it should be. So if they truly believe that the status quo is what it needs to be, then that's their prerogative to believe that.
So let me ask you this.
Let me finish.
All right.
I just believe that they're being too loyal in this situation. And you've built the roster the way you've built the roster. And I understand that. And I respect that they have literally tried everything they can to make this work as currently constructed. But I'm not seeing it work. I mean, they can't score. You know, yes, they won a game in Sweden, and that was great. But it took them to the very end of the game to do it, and it was two goals.
Okay.
And so it just – I mean, you can't change all the players, so you got to change the coach.
So you're telling me, like the Titans, there's all these people that are making a decision. Isn't this Barry Trotz's? Should this not be Barry Trotz's decision?
Yeah, no, I agree.
I love Sean Henry. And I really don't care what he thinks about this.
Right. But, I mean
– it's Barry Trotz to me.
Sure. And I believe they're leaving that up to Barry Trotz.
Okay.
I just worry – And look, I mean, it could be a situation where the roster is too much in a state where it doesn't matter who coaches it, it's not going to make it better, and he may be looking at it that way.
Okay.
And if that's the case, that's fine, but then everybody's going to go, well, you're the one that built it, so what are you going to do to fix it?
Right. I mean, he's in a position that – he didn't want to be in, that nobody wants to be in, but it's a position that you're there because you got to make the tough decisions and the tough call. And I know it's social media, but the pulse of the fan base is like, get him out of here. I mean, that's what I see everywhere is like, get out. I mean, the websites, get him out of here. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I was excited they won the game on Friday. I'm like, maybe they turned a corner. I mean, I was texting you like, maybe they're pissed off that this is our moment, and then they go out on Sunday and drop an egg. I don't know. I know they're not out of it. I know that.
No, and the marker is always Canadian Thanksgiving, or not Canadian, American Thanksgiving is generally kind of the marker of if you're not in the playoffs or close to the playoffs by then you're in trouble. And they're not in right now, but they're not completely out of it either. Kevin asked on our text line, if the Preds fire Burnett, who is out there to hire? So there are a couple of different ways they could go about this. They have the internal hires. They could promote Carl Taylor from Milwaukee, which would make sense because they're playing a lot of the young players that he has coached and developed, and they can continue that development at the NHL level with him, so they could promote Carl Taylor. They hired Luke Richardson, who has been a head coach. He was most recently with Chicago Blackhawks last year, was fired from that position. He is the associate coach, so he could just assume the role as interim. There is always the unlikely, but there is always the possibility that Barry Trotz could go to the bench if he chose to do so, and the organization backed him on that. Like I said, I don't think that's very likely, but it could happen. And then there are coaches that are currently not employed. Peter Laviolette is one of those coaches. Pete DeBoer is one of those coaches that is out there. some other long shots are Gerard Gallant, who is out there as well. So, you know, there are options, and it's one of those things that in the NHL it happens, and John Tortorella is another one who's now with ESPN, and if you want to connect some tea leaves, obviously, you know, Sean Henry was with the Tampa Bay Lightning when Torts was the coach there, and they won the Stanley Cup. Again, I think that is an unlikely scenario, but is one to throw out there, and I'll call him Torts if I want to.
I don't care. It's hockey. I don't care.
I thought you were going to get on me.
That's hockey. I don't care. Laviolette, bring him back.
I think Laviolette. I don't think Laviolette would necessarily be a popular name.
Who cares?
But I think Laviolette. I mean, if you want me to be honest with you,
no, I don't want you to.
The best coach for this team is the guy that built it. But again, I don't think that's likely, and they probably don't want me to say that. But I think Barry Trotz is the guy that could coach this team because he built it. I don't think they're going to do that. I think Barry's done coaching.
I don't think he wants to. Right?
No, I think he's done coaching. I think he wants to see this through as a GM, and that's fine. Carl Taylor would make the most sense because he's helped develop a lot of these young players. You're trying to get the most out of the veterans, it's Pete DeBoer or Peter Laviolette.
Yeah, Peter Laviolette, man. Bring it back. But their biggest success happened under?
Peter Laviolette. Yep. But right now, I don't think they're going to make a move.
Okay. Next game is Saturday, right?
Yep. It is Saturday. Mark says, if this was any other GM coach, Bruno would have already been fired. Where am I wrong? You're probably not wrong. Dustin in Hopkinsville, would Lavi want this team again?
Don't people like to be employed?
Yeah. 2765 says, give me Carl Taylor or give me death. Wes in Clarksville, Mike McCoy to the Preds. He'll keep it conservative.
You'll lose 2-1 every night. There you go.
So there you go. There's my Preds thought for the day, and we'll see how it goes as the week goes on. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. It's Chase and Big Joe. 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be there on Thursday. If the Spark could talk, coming up Thursday as well.
Yeah, that's Thursday at 4 to 7 at Barline's. Jeffrey Steele, the famous songwriter, is going to be there. It's free. Go to Barline, say hi. Come see us. We've got Scott Hamilton's going to be with us Thursday. Stick around. Barline's at 4 o'clock. It's free. Jeffrey Steele, if this bar could talk songs and songwriting from Barline. It's really a cool event. The best part about it, Chaser?
It's free.
It's free.
And you're signing copies of your new Christmas album. Right?
I am. Yep.
Okay.
Me and Zamfir. Nice. At the Budokan. So we're looking up for that.
We look forward to that. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right. First on the list, we have Native Women's Equal Pay Day. Occult Day is today. Push Button Phone Day. William Tell Day.
Ooh. What does he tell?
National
Princess
Day. Isn't
he the guy that shot the apple off his head? Is that right?
What?
William Tell, the apple?
I don't know.
Or is that Johnny Appleseed? Damn it, Dr.
I think it was
Craig.
Bart Simpson. I don't know.
National Entrepreneurs Day continuing. Mickey Mouse Day is today. Married to a Scorpio Support Day. Apple Cider Day. And last but not least, National Vichyssoise Day, which is that French soup.
Oh, well, there you go.
Say it again real quick.
Vichyssoise.
Okay. All right. Hey, can we ask Chase never do that Mickey Mouse sound again? Because that was kind of creepy.
Ha-ha.
Oh, Lord. Is that what you do when you make a red light, a green light?
Yeah, something like
all
that.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Our first birthday, the very funny, Kevin Nealon from SNL. How old is Kevin Nealon?
Kevin Nealon is 66.
68.
72. Dang. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Oscar from The Office. How old is Oscar Nunez?
He is 52.
60.
67. Chase, you go. Actor Owen Wilson.
Is he the funny one?
Yes, with the crooked nose.
That's a trick question. Neither one of them were funny. I'm kidding. He is 54.
52.
57. Dr. Crane gets to go. Actress Chloe Savigny? Something. Chloe something. She's very pretty.
that narrows it down.
I'm going to go 35.
Okay.
38.
51.
Nice.
Chase, you get to go now. Former SML standout actress Nassim Pedrad. I'll show you a picture. There's her picture. She's very pretty.
Oh, yeah. I remember her.
Okay.
42.
48.
44. Chaser's on the board. 1-0. All right, Dr. Crane, you get to go now. How old is actress Brenda Vaccaro? She has a raspy voice like that.
67?
66.
86. Nice. Chase, you go. Actor Linda Evans from Dynasty, who was married, used to be married to Yanni.
77.
72.
83. Dr. Crane, you get to go. Actor Jameson Parker from Simon & Simon. He's the one that did not wear the hat.
54.
73.
78. Chase, you get to go now. Actress Elizabeth Perkins was in A Bout Last Night with Jim Belushi and Rob Lowe and was in another John Hughes movie with Kevin Bacon.
68.
62.
65. God, you're
some... all around it.
Dr. Crane, Kirk Hammett of Metallica.
Ooh.
59.
64.
63. Chase, you're up 2-0. Chase, you have to go now. How old is singer, Broadway composer Duncan Sheik? He's like, I am barely breathing. I can't find him.
73.
71.
56. All right, let's go now. Dr. Crane, you have to go. Tony Franklin, the first barefooted kicker in the NFL.
86.
76.
69. Chase, you go. Warren Moon.
I was hoping you'd have him on there. Warren Moon.
You've already looked.
No, I haven't looked. I just knew. I saw the Titans thing. They didn't put his age. He is 73.
67.
69.
Nice.
You're on the board, Dr. Crane. Dr. Crane, Jamie Moyer, Major League Baseball pitcher, won a World Series with the Eagles.
Phillies.
With the Phillies. Good Lord.
Okay. I'm going to go with 59.
I'm going to say he is 56.
63. Chase, you go now. Gary Sheffield.
61.
63.
57. Dr. Crane, you go. Rocket Ishmael.
67.
54.
56. Chase up 3-1. Chase, you go. Sam Cassell.
74.
68.
56. Dr. Crane, last birthday, you're down 3-1. How old is Caleb Williams?
Quarterback for the Bears, he is 26.
25.
He is 24, and Chase wins 4-1.
Boom.
Back how it should be.
Well, thank you very much. Yes. I appreciate that. Thanks to Germantown Pub for having us here today.
As always, we leave the show with our mental health message to our guys out there. We say all the time, if you're going through something, please talk to somebody. Please talk to us. Talk to a friend. We need you here. If you need to talk to somebody immediately on your cell phone, you can text 988 or call 988. We have help here at thegamenashville.com. Just go to the Chase and Big Joe Show. And on the tab, you'll see information for Unity Psychiatric Care. We tell you all the time that we need you here. Your journey may some days be bumpy, be cloudy, be everything else, but it's your journey because you're a part of it and you're beautiful. And know that we need you here. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, please know this, that God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is coming your way. Next, they'll have the latest on the Titans. They'll talk college football and all of those things. That is coming your way. We're back at it tomorrow at noon here on 102.5 The Game.